786-456-4837 is the telephone number if you want to talk to Ron McGill. I've told you that story of Keon Dooling and Shaquille O'Neal being on the boat of Mickey Arison, and Keon Dooling looking at Shaquille O'Neal and saying, "Shaq, you ain't rich. This is rich." Shaquille O'Neal bought his boat. Did you see this the other day, Stugatz? Shaquille O'Neal bought a boat and asked people to help him come up with a name. And somebody wrote into him, I think it was Andrew Yang, if I'm not mistaken, wrote into him, "Call it Free Throw, because then you'll never sink it." 786-456-4837 is the telephone number if you want to talk to Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Billy, what do you have for Ron this week?
Ron, I saw pictures going around the internet that you had taken. There was a gorilla, I guess, that had gotten into some sort of scuffle with another gorilla, and you had to have surgery on it to repair some injuries. You gave it COVID tests. And while I was seeing it, they were kind of cool pictures, but I was wondering, have you ever had an animal that you didn't give quite enough of whatever the dosage is to knock them out that woke up mid-surgery? Because that seems like it would be horrifying.
Well, yeah, it would be horrifying. Now, I'm fortunate to say that animal's under general anesthesia. There's one person there is just constantly with the anesthesia, monitoring the anesthesia, so it's very unlikely to happen. But having said that, I worked with a veterinarian once at the old Cranon Park Zoo with a huge chimp. His name was Colonel. We pulled him out. He darted him because he had a stitch up an arm on a cut that he had in his arm, and we had him on the grass, laying down in the grass. The veterinarian's kneeling between his legs, leaning over, stitching over his arm. I'm on one arm on the one side, another keeper's on another arm on the other side, and then all of a sudden, and I'm not exaggerating one second, this chimp just sat up, put his face literally 6 inches in front of the veterinarian's face, who was kneeling between his legs, and just went, "Wah!" screamed at the top of his lungs. The one guy holding the arm on the other side jumped into the canal behind him. I just froze. I didn't know what else to do. I just froze, holding his arm, and then his eyes rolled back in his head, and he fell back down. And I looked at the vet, and I mean, the vet didn't even flinch, and I go, "What happened?" And he said, "That happens often. They use a drug called ketamine, and when they use ketamine, the chimp will often hallucinate, though he's totally under anesthesia, will hallucinate like sleepwalking and have that kind of effect." Well, I said, "Well, next time, please tell me about that crap, because that was a very horrible moment for me."
Garlic Feet, you're on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. What do you have for him?
Hey, Ron. Animals in the wild, do they ever get to enjoy anything that could be thought of as a dessert? When they eat something, like, do they have any form of what they would consider a dessert?
Well, they don't eat things in the sequence that we eat things. In other words, okay, this is my main meal, and now I'm going to have the dessert. Usually if they find something that they like that would be equivalent to our dessert, they'll eat that first. You know, they eat the tastiest parts of things first. But there's certainly some things, some flowers to some animals, some nectar and flowers, pure sugar, they love that. Fruits, of course, you know, there's a tree called the Amarula tree that when it blossoms out and the fruits fall down, they actually eat so much of it that they can get drunk. It ferments, and they actually, you've probably seen those YouTube videos of the baboons, you know, tipping all over themselves. Even elephants can get tipsy eating that. So it is sort of a dessert in that it's a pleasing, high sugar content food that they will eat to extremes sometimes.
Billy, why were you laughing? Were you laughing because somebody, I can guess who it is, simply coughed straight into a microphone there? Like, I can take a betting favorite on who that was. Who was that? Because I didn't see who did it, but I'm imagining
we know.
That.
We know.
Okay, great.
Everybody knows who that was.
All right, great. You are totally useless, Greg. Tubby, you're on ESPN Radio with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Go ahead, Tubby.
Hey, I just want to remind everybody, when you're running up on a squirrel on the road, toot the horn, and they'll get out of the way. And why can't squirrels figure that out on their own?
You know, squirrels are notorious for panicking. People will see a squirrel on the side of the road and think, well, as I drive up, it's going to just go up to the tree to the right. Many times they run right into the car, and people don't understand why they do that. Understand, squirrels have tons of what we call fast twitch muscles. If you watch squirrels, the way they jump onto trees and the way they run, it's like a lightning bolt. I just don't understand why their brains don't function in a way to give them the common sense to run away from a car instead of running into it. It's like armadillos. They do the same thing. When they panic, they jump straight up into the air like 2 to 3 feet. And a lot of times they're crossing the road. If they didn't panic, the car would go over them without running over them. They fit under the car, but then they jump up and they get killed by the car that way because that's an instinct. I can't explain it. I'm not a squirrel. I don't know why they don't do what they should do.
We learned, and he's been doing this with us probably about 10 years right now, and we learn something every time. So put it on the poll, Guillermo, please. Did you know that squirrels were notorious for panic? And did you know that armadillos jumped up 3 feet in the air? Because that is not something I thought that they could do at all. Is there another panicky animal that you would put in that class with the armadillo and the squirrel?
Not in the jumping thing, but like vultures, when they panic, they projectile vomit. I mean, like Exorcist type crap really comes out, and it's the most horrific fluid you could ever imagine smelling, feeling, and God forbid if your mouth is open, tasting.
That hasn't happened to you, has it?
Yeah, it has.
No.
What?
And that's exactly what happened to me. I haven't thrown up since I was probably like 6 years old, but that was as close as it came to me. I mean, I had a horrible gagging reflex.
Talking about 6 years old. All right, congratulations.
Put it on the poll. Have you, at Lebatard Show, have you thrown up more recently? That's 54 years ago you're talking about, Ron.
That's true.
Have you thrown up in the last half century? Put it on the poll. Steve, you're on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, this is Bernie, if that works.
Sure. Go ahead, Bernie.
Okay, good. Listen, Ron, I wanted to ask you, did you see the documentary a while back on Serengeti? It's like
yes,
a five-part.
I did. Yeah. It was a great documentary. You know, it's awfully anthropomorphized, so to speak, in that and I think there's a lot of CGI that goes on. They had some great footage, don't get me wrong. They had some incredible footage, but there's a lot of CGI, a lot of computer-generated images kind of composed over and above that. And, you know, it's a nice story. I thought it did a nice job. It was beautifully shot. But at the end of the day, if you really travel to Africa, you'll realize it's not quite as story-like.
Ron, I have two questions for you. I read a story yesterday about a black bear entering a Colorado man's home. I am wondering, you wake up one day, there is a bear in your home roaming through your kitchen. What is the proper thing to do? I run and call the cops. I did that on a frog. This guy decided to take on the bear. What do you do, Ron?
Well, look, I'm glad you brought that up, Stugatz, because, you know, people panic about bears and, oh, bears are monsters. Look what they're going to do. They're going to kill you. Listen, the guy is the first one to admit, you know, he went out there and what he tried to do was the bear saw him, didn't do anything. But then he got freaked out. He said, let me see if I can get the bear out. So he went to open the garage door with a remote garage door opener. And as the garage door went, and went up, then all of a sudden the bear came at him and took a swipe at him and then ran away because the bear panicked. So what the point here is, guys, listen, if that bear was mean, vicious, horrible, it would have killed the guy. It took one swipe at him. It's a bear. So it took one swipe at him. So he had a couple of good swipes on the side of his face. But let's look at the end result. The bear swiped at him like, Jesus, you just get the heck out of me. Now I'm getting out of here. He wanted nothing to do with the guy. The guy had a doors open, enabled the bear to get in. That's what I try to teach people. We need to learn to coexist with these animals. Lock your flipping doors. Lock your garbage cans. Do not. The bear is going to try to look for food. That's all he was doing, was looking for food. He was coming in. It was Goldilocks and the three bears. Okay, he came in looking for the food. He found the food. Then the guy came down, scared him, opened the garage door, scared him, and he swiped at him. That's it. If you see a bear, step back. Go away. Do not worry about it. Just get away. The bear will go away. Give him a chance to get out. This guy just made the wrong move by opening that garage door, which startled him, and the guy's the first one to admit that.
All right, best running back in the animal kingdom. Is it a squirrel, a little scat back? What do you think?
No, it's not going to be a squirrel. I've said it over and over. It's a freaking elephant or a rhino.
Oh,
you don't
wow.
have to be fast. You don't have to be cutting. You don't have to be fast or cutting. You just have to be unstoppable. Who's going to stop a rhino or an elephant going straight up the line? Tell me, Stugatz, who?
I love that he said, I said this over and over again. It is. It's like the 50th time we've asked him a version of that question. Ron, thank you for being on with us. We appreciate it, sir.
All right, guys. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
See you, Ron. Now to the good stuff.
Chris Cody noticing two things. One, landline, the rare landline hang-up there. And he was just blistering Ron McGill, classic animal apologist, saying that we shouldn't leave our doors open because the bear was breaking and entering. And he just apologized for the bear. It's bull bleep, but he's just a homer for the animal kingdom.
Welcome to another Greg Cody Tuesday, a weekly celebration of white mediocrity.
Mignon Fogarty with us. We were arguing about this earlier in the show. Do you know whether it's pronounced gala or gala?
No, I don't. And I often mispronounce things, and my listeners from my podcast will call me out on it.
Yeah, we were referring, of course, to the PFPI gala.
Thank you. You just ended. You petered out on the joke. You wanted to make the joke, but you got caught up in the air.
I had
all right,
a serious
Mignon,
question.
Thank you for being on with us, Mignon. That's just perfect. You just wanted to get in there with the joke, but you didn't have anything afterwards.
I did. I was gathering myself.
You weren't gathering yourself. You made your joke. All you had was the joke. You bathed in the joke.
That is not true.
It wasn't a good joke. Nobody laughed. We all just stared at you waiting for a question that never came.
I was also going to ask her how she feels about the casual use of language.
That's great that you have all these questions. Now that's very helpful.
That was a short segment. I thought she deserved more time, Mignon, which by the way is French for cute. It's not just a steak.
Is that true?
Yep.
I don't believe you.
Look it up.
This is another Greg Cody Tuesday, a weekly celebration of Caucasian mediocrity.
The latest South Beach Sessions from the Lebatard and Friends podcast network is with Hank Azaria about his career. He has been in so many movies, Stugatz, that I've just realized. Did you know that he was in Gross Point Blank? Did you know he was in Dodgeball? Did you know he was in Heat? He's sort of hidden in some of these movies, or at least I didn't know him at the time, and so I forgot that he's there, but... we talked to him about his career and being a voice actor for The Simpsons, really the voice actor of this generation. So if you want to check out that South Beach Sessions with our friend Hank Azaria, you could subscribe, rate, and review. This person writes in here, Jorge Masvidal is going to join us in about 10 minutes. But we're getting a note here, Stugatz. You know that we go to great lengths. We try to be the Globetrotters to get Greg Cody on the hard network out at the end of an hour. He never knows where the clock is. It's kind of unfair right now because he's working from home. But this tweeter writes in, based on all the work we did with Pablo Torre to get Greg Cody on the last hard network out, this tweeter writes in, did ESPN just shut down the discussion of Woj's suspension on the Lebatard show?
You don't get the show.
Jorge Masvidal going to join us, as I said, in a few minutes.
Now we use that discussion, that important discussion, to satisfy and please ourselves.
That's it. That's the only reason. So yesterday on the show, you heard Stugatz talk about the blatant anti-Semitism of DeSean Jackson and Steven Jackson recently. And I can't believe, Stugatz, I did not have this happening during the pandemic, but the apology tour very quickly got to DeSean Jackson is going to visit and tour Auschwitz. You were very forgiving yesterday on this front, saying, among other things, that you don't expect DeSean Jackson and Steven Jackson to familiarize themselves with the Holocaust. I would expect them to do bare minimum that before speaking on it in any way. Like, I don't think it's a big reach, but you were super forgiving on the subject.
I was super forgiving. What I was saying, Dan, is I don't expect them to know unless you're going to be a voice here. And Steven Jackson has decided to be a voice, and I applaud him for doing so. But if you're going to be a voice that speaks out against police brutality, and you are talking about fairness and justice and equality for all, when you speak about other races and other religions, if you're going to be a voice, don't get it wrong. I am not looking for Steven Jackson to speak on behalf of Jewish people, but if you are going to speak about Jewish people, okay, then don't get it wrong. Bare minimum, just don't get it wrong. Take 20 minutes, take 30 minutes, take an hour, take 10 minutes, and familiarize yourself with what has happened, what's going on. Again, Jews have been the most targeted group of hate crimes 3 of the last 5 years in the United States. Steven Jackson should not expect me to know what it's like to walk in his shoes, and I don't expect him to know what it's like to walk in my shoes. Do I live with the fear of being pulled over every day by the cops and being treated unfairly? No. But just because of the color of my skin or how much money I may earn or people in my religion earn, it doesn't mean they don't walk around with their own personal fears, Dan. It doesn't mean on Yom Kippur and the high holidays they're not sitting at a temple and wondering if that temple is going to be attacked. So all I am asking is, please, if you're going to be a voice and you chose to be one, and I am proud of you for doing so, please, if you're going to speak about other religions, cultures, races, bare minimum, don't get it wrong. That's all I'm saying.
Jorge Masvidal joins us next. The big sport event of the weekend was involving this guy, Jorge Masvidal. He is on with us now. Thank you, Jorge, for making the time. A lot of people were disappointed that we couldn't watch you stand in the center of the octagon and fight this dude the way that you wanted to fight him. And I know that actually mixed martial arts people who know their stuff would point to what you did on 6 days and be hugely impressed by it, especially against that guy staying on your feet as much as you did. But can you explain to us the entertainment value of the fight? How did you feel about that as the guy people were tuning in to watch?
For starters, let me say, what's up, man? And we could always skip the formalities with me. You acting like you ain't my boy no more? You don't got to thank me for being on the show, man. Come on. We go two way back now, Dan. You don't got to ever thank me for being on the show. And two, Stewie, what's up? I've been calling you. I lost one time. You haven't returned any of my phone calls.
Yeah.
I know what type of person you are now.
Yeah, yeah. No, but listen, here's the thing. I was waiting.
It's kind of upsetting. I have your address. I'm just going to show up.
Right.
And that's it, because you're I won lost and you want to forget about
me?
You blocked me?
No,
is that
no.
Right? Because now I'm sending my messages and they're not going through. I'm figuring you blocked me, bro.
No, I didn't block you. I love you. No, I didn't block you. I love you. And I need a babysitter this weekend, by the way.
What are you doing? Tough love on me? That's why you blocked me?
Well, no, I was disappointed because Abu Dhabi, I was waiting for you. I thought the limo was picking me up, you and I, private jet.
Limo.
And yeah, and no one came. And my bags were packed and I was ready to go with you. And, you know, I figured, listen, I understand you're disappointed,
we're going to chalk that one up to transportation.
Okay. All right. I got a lot of leverage right now. I mean, you're 1-0 with me, you're 0-1 without me. Let's keep that in mind, okay?
I'm a numbers guy. I'm not going to argue that. I'm not going to argue that.
I love it.
What happened in the fight, Jorge?
Well, from entertainment value, I feel like I wanted to do a lot more. I also feel like Usman did exactly what he had to do to neutralize me, was not really leave himself in my area and constantly, you know, take it to the safest place that it was for him, you know? So I knew that going into the fight, and that was a big concern if I had the gas tank to do it, to keep me off him. I knew that I could wrestle with him when he'd get into my legs, but I had to have enough energy to keep exploding off the cage, and it's something that I didn't have that day. My legs were a little flat. I don't want to make excuses, man. It is what it is. Once you sign to fight, you sign to fight. You don't, you know, at least me and the way that I came up, you're not, I'm not going to sit here and the facts are all out there, you know, and if I could get this rematch, you know, immediately or whenever it happens, I'll be in much better shape and I'll give a much better representation of myself, man. You know, that fight was good and I feel like I could do better, man.
Is that the reason you guys were friends at the end? Because I was surprised to see how friendly you were, even though fighters often do that because they respect the courage that it takes to do that.
Well, I told him some things and we both agreed on it, you know, and it was just like, all right, cool, you know, and he understood where I was coming from. I understood a little bit where he was coming from, and let's do it again. You know what I'm saying? I have respect for everybody in the sport that gets in the cage, you know. Leon Edwards, you know, people might think I dislike him the most. What happened, but I still have respect for that man, how he makes his money. I know better than anybody in the world how they make, man. Everybody, every man and woman that gets in the cage, I know how they make their living, so I respect everybody, you know. It's just I don't want to be disrespected, and I got a mouth on me too, so if you're going to say things, I got to defend myself, you know.
Jorge Masvidal with us. Jorge Masvidal with us on ESPN Radio. I was blasting.
He was
going to
give us
yesterday.
Something good there. Hold on a second. You're from Miami, what, Jorge?
What happened?
You know what? We all have a mouthpiece and a set of hands down here. It's just standard, you know? We get talking, we can back it up at any moment. 6 day notice, 6 week notice, don't matter. We're ready. I don't know if it's in Miami, maybe it's in the water. I don't know. It's like get ready water.
Now talk,
Stugatz.
Have you done radio before?
Stugatz,
have you done radio before? Do you know how to do this?
Well, I mean, you threw it back to Jorge for him to give us something good, and I think we should have just kept moving forward. But anyway, Jorge Masvidal with us here on ESPN Radio. Listen, yesterday, thank you, Jorge, I was blasting Usman because I spent money on that fight to watch you, to support you. I was up to 1 in the morning until that thing started, okay? And what I witnessed was not a fight. That guy does not fight. What he does is he holds you against the fence and he steps on your toes. That is not fighting. He squares up with you in the middle of the octagon. You end him in less than a minute, Jorge. Am I wrong?
I'm not going to say you're wrong, my brother. And but it's part of fighting. You know, people got to stick to what they're good at. I try to stick to what I'm good at. It's just I didn't have the gas tank that I needed to keep the fight at my range the whole time to make it work for me, you know? So I just, I feel like I let a lot of people down in that sense, you know?
Did you have in your game plan that he would be such a toe stomper?
Yeah, but there's like one of those things that I don't care, you know? Yesterday I was, it doesn't hurt, you know? I was bike riding yesterday, played some spike ball after my 6 miles of bike riding. I went to the gym today, worked out, you know? So I'm in perfect health. I got some stitches in my face. That's the only thing that's stopping me from getting in the mat, you know. One of them came from a headbutt, one of them I think was an elbow. So yeah, you know, it'll be like 8 days till I get back on the mat. But I'm in the gym, I'm running, I'm lifting, playing spike ball, staying active, you know.
Have you gotten some numbers yet to know how much you made on the fight?
Well, so far, I don't like to go off the what I see on the internet. I like to wait, and it takes 60 to 90 days to really get a solid picture of what's coming your way, right? So anything else before that, yeah, I could be just hyping myself up. So I like the weight. But what we're seeing from the pre-sales that they do have already kind of have told us, we did really, really, really good. We broke a lot of records just on pre-sales.
What does that mean, though? Like, if you had to guess where you want this to be in terms of money after talking so much about the money, where would what would be the low end?
It's a good low end. I don't know if I should say it, man.
Well,
listen,
Sonnen told us.
I'll explain something so you know a little better. They came to me with a deal at first that I did not like, and we were not willing to take a part of it, you know. And all this craziness happened. Didn't have anybody to step in 6 day notice. It was willing to cut whatever amount of weight they had to in 6 days, travel across the world, and compete against the current world champion. They didn't have nobody else. So I had leverage, you could say, right, on my side. And we gambled on myself that this would be a high-drawing pay-per-view, and I didn't get that much money guaranteed, but I did gamble on the pay-per-view side. And I went hard on that. I made it worth my while to cut the amount of weight and take the fight in such short notice. You know, so on that side, I did gamble. Like I say, I always gamble on myself. I'm always all in on myself. And hell yeah.
Sonnen said he made $8 million.
The guy from Dave Chappelle's show. You know, he had that famous saying that I can't say it on air, but I'm rich.
Okay, all right. So,
are you still babysitting? I mean,
hold on a second. So Chael Sonnen made $8 million, he told us, for Anderson Silva. He had a mouth, too. He could sell his fights. You're assuming you're going to make more than that, yes?
Well, that's a no-brainer. You could just, because it's numbers. When my numbers finally get the totality of it, and then you just add up the numbers to his, and then that's it, you know? And then know that I got a little bit extra hooked up, you know? I got, like, things were good, you know?
Does the loss affect your value for the next fight very much?
This sport truly relies solely on the people, right? So it's up to the people, and the people could make their decisions or not, you know? As far as I go, my head's in a great place. It's in a better place before I went into the fight. It's in a much, much better place. I have a much more clear path on what I need to work on and what I need to keep improving on and what's going to work. You know, I have a lot of math on this guy. I have a lot of data on this guy, and I like what I see.
Stay there, Jorge. We're going to come back with Jorge Masvidal after this. We don't even have enough time to get into this particular subject matter, but you want to explain to the audience and to Jorge why it is you're a little nervous right now, Stugatz?
I mean, we're all very nervous. You're about to go down some serious paths with Jorge. You're going to do so in 4 minutes and like 32 seconds, which you're right is not enough time. And listen, we enjoy our relationship with Masvidal. I just want to go around, fly places with him and be in his corner, and you're about to go down a very dangerous, serious path.
Well, because people are asking us to disassociate ourselves from him with some of the stuff that he's been doing politically. So help me understand it, Jorge, because I discovered what QAnon was based on something you were doing on Twitter, and that seems reckless and irresponsible to me to be, you know, quoting fake quotes from Kurt Cobain that, you know, are about conspiracies. So help me understand what am I supposed to do here as you know, we get continual pressure to separate from you because of questionable politics.
For starters, you see, I can't agree with that right there with somebody. Like if I go into a place, and we're seeing it a lot now happen, whatever my political stance is, that person being mistreated, that's not right. That's called oppression. And that's something that I've been hearing since I'm 6, 7 years old. So one half of my family comes from South America, and the other half comes from Cuba. And that side of the Cuban side, they left communism, and my grandpa actually started a chapter that was anti-terrorism. I haven't told a lot of people this, but if you want to talk politics, here we go. So my family was an anti-communism group. They were considered a terrorism group in Cuba. They were called the AAA, and my grandpa was part of it, and some of his sons were part of it. One of my uncles worked for the Cuban government. He was actually very high up in the Cuban government. So I've been schooled on both sides of it since I've been very young, and I believe certain things have to take place before socialism happens and then communism, and I stand against everything that communism, and this country is that. America is that. People died way before me and you. People went to war for freedom and died for it. If you're part of this country, your liberty is on you. You have to be willing to die for it, because I'd rather death than not have freedom, and I mean that by every single word. So I stand with those that are against communism, that are against socialism. But people can have whatever stance, they could love me or hate me after I say my mind, but I'm always going to ride on the side that's against communism and socialism and even democratic socialism, because that leads to the destruction of societies. And you can't tell me one society that was socialist or communist that is still good and functioning. Now, all these, like, athletes and, man, and I just get so heated about this, you know, and celebrities that give praise to, like, Fidel Castro, Che Guevara. Like, man, are you effing serious? Do you know how much people he killed? Actual people that were my family got slayed by these people. And they don't know what socialism is or communism. It sounds beautiful in theory when you read it in books. Freeness for everybody. But it doesn't happen because somebody has to control that. And for that one person to control it, for you to say one person can have that much power, it's never going to work out. We saw it with Fidel Castro, what he did with Cuba. It's a perfect example. Cuba was a thriving place before Batista came into the picture. And then Fidel just was the nail in the coffin, you know.
Hold on, Jorge. Forgive me, because we're out of time, and I erred in asking this question so late in the program, and you didn't answer my question about the specifics of the conspiracy group and why that's reckless and irresponsible. But we don't have time, so we have to continue the conversation. Just stay there, and we'll tape something so that I do this correctly. I made a mistake bringing up this subject to placate the audience so late in the show. So just stay there for a second. We got to end the show. Forgive me for cutting you off, but I do want an answer to that question. Maybe we'll get it here off of air and we'll tape it and play it tomorrow. Thank you for being on with us, okay?
Man.
That's why we were nervous.
Yeah. I know. That's where we are. Cody, we botched that? You feel like we botched that, right? We screwed up there, yes?
We will talk to you mañana. This was the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.